This week, Juice fucking misses me, and I have a really sad story to tell. And then we dive into recapping our very exciting time together and our opportunities at the Canadian Game Awards. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. It's dangerous. Hello, Barely Gamers, and welcome back to your favorite podcast about video games.
I'm Juicebox.
And I'm Jackson.
And it's dangerous to go alone, so come with us as we chat about this week's video game. Fuck! Hey, listen, as we chat about this week's video games. Fuck! Hey, listen, as we chat about this week's video game topic.
Hey, Christ. Listen to us talk about this week's video game topic.
Fuck!
You want to go again?
No.
Okay. You want me to cut around that?
No, I want all three.
Okay, the authenticity, the legitimacy.
Authenticity.
I got anything in my teeth?
No, do I?
No. No, you look great. Good teeth. Thanks. Good teeth.
Good teeth.
But hey, Juice, welcome on in. Hey, Barely Gamers, also welcome on in. Great to have everybody.
You're a sleepy boy today.
I'm a sleepy boy today, and I'll tell you more about why soon. But how are you?
I'm really good. I just want to really quickly shout out Jackson's upper lip. It always fascinates me.
I have
always, every time you get rid of the mustache and then you have an upper lip and it is just crazy. Mm-hmm. Also, can I say really quick before we get into things?
Sure.
I understand that you are extremely handsome. I get that. I own that. I am fine with it. I have come to terms with it. And sometimes I forget. And then I post you on my social media and it is like feral dogs in my DMs. Just the things that I read, disgusting.
Give me some of the less disgusting ones. The ones that'll just stroke my ego but won't make me frightened.
What size are his feet?
Yeah. Would you tell him?
I didn't respond. Yeah. Or a lot of like, oh my God, he's so hot. His smile. One said, when did he shave? And I said, and I said to him, I was just like, oh, he shaved before this weekend. And they said, I don't like it. It's too hot.
Ooh.
Too hot. Yeah. Ooh. So it has been, I have been sitting here, I'm fighting off men for you.
Thanks.
So if you ever decide to jump the tracks.
I know. It's part of the reason I'm so disappointed that I'm straight. One is like, straight people suck. But two is like, I could be cleaning up out here.
Oh, it would be insane.
But then I dig deep and I'm like, am I? Still no. God still damn it.
Listen, God one round of Goblin Cave and maybe.
No, I think that one made me straighter. You made me watch it. And I went, what are we? Whoa! I like boobs.
I like boobs.
Yeah.
Boobs, boobs, boobs. Pecs and boobs are like the same thing.
Yeah, we talked about this, you and I, when we were in person.
Yeah.
So sweet. And we'll tell you all about that soon. Yeah, but like, we were like, wow, it's weird that we both like boobs.
But just different boobs.
Yeah, different kinds.
Yeah. Like if I see somebody with gigantic pecs, I have the same feeling of you as someone with big boobs.
Yeah, and I go,
yeah.
But internally, because I'm classy like that.
No, I do it loudly and explicitly in public.
Like when that Spider-Man walked by us.
Hey, Spidey, nice ass. But I'm good. I obviously a little sad because my sweet boy isn't with me anymore.
That's me.
I had such a nice time with you this weekend. It was so fabulous. It was
such
so lovely.
A blast. Thank
it just
you
like
so
came
much.
Out of nowhere.
It did. It was completely by accident. Mm-hmm. It was not planned until like 40 minutes before it happened.
Literally,
and I'm so grateful that it did. And we'll dive in more to that. But like, we ended up spending a bunch of time together over the last week.
Mm-hmm.
Super grateful to you and Mr. Box for the hospitality, especially because it kept extending itself. And it was so much fun to be able to hang out, and we went to the gym and we saw your gym friends and it was so much fun.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to be a bummer, but I also want to talk about my feelings, and they've been big, heavy feelings in the last 24 hours. So like, I don't want to be like a bummer. I don't want to, but if I have your permission, if this is a safe space to get real about something that happened to me and why I've been feeling big feels, I would,
please.
I've wanted to connect with you about it, but, so I played a hockey game last night as I do weekly and usually tons of chuckles, tons of fun, tons of laughter. Even when it gets rough, even when it gets chirpy and chippy, you still walk away like that was a well-spent hour of my day. And I feel good, and I was physically active, and sure. So we went to this game yesterday, and it was against a bunch of young kids. Our team's like in their 50s. They're old guys, and they're just doing their best. And like, it's me and a couple of younger guys that I used to work with, and some good guys, some good energy. And like, I've been into yapping matches before, but the team we played against was like maybe 20, 22 max, most of their players. Loud and yappy and just annoying, kind of grating from the beginning, but like nothing too bad. A couple of chirpy, chippy moments throughout the game, and we get to the end of the game, and their team just starts being particularly douchey. And it's a guy that I've seen a couple of times, tries to take out the legs of one of my teammates. So I go over and I'm like, you're just a piece of shit. You've been in the mix the whole fucking game. And then to my right, some other guy comes over, 5'6" max, young, baby face, been a little chirpy throughout the game. And he comes over and he calls me the F-slur. And I see red. I feel murderous. And I go to a 10. And I get in his face and I grab him and pull him in close to me and start screaming at him until multiple people pull us apart. And it was something to the effect of, the fuck did you just say to me, you little bitch? What did you say, motherfucker? Say it again. And he's like, oh, I didn't say anything. I was like, say that word again. What was the word you used, you little prick? Fucking say it again. You're not going to, you little fucking coward. And I saw red. And people had to pull us apart and send me on my way. And couldn't calm down for hours.
Oh my God.
And was just absolutely livid, and like all kinds of big feels. And like finished that game at like 11 and got home at 1, still wide awake, just couldn't like wind down. And then I had to be up early for work. But I was just fucking livid at the audacity. And like, I'm not, and that's fine. And I'm not like, oh, you called me gay. I'm just like, again, I grew up playing hockey, so it's always going to have like a happy place in my heart. But at the same time, that sport thrives on toxic masculinity, and it is a closed off space. Yeah. And, you know, I left.
And it was the use of a slur. That's why you were upset.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I left the sport in my 20s and went and explored the world and saw a lot of different kinds of people and, you know, formed really meaningful friendships, relationships with people in the queer community. And that has changed me for the better. Yes, Juice.
Did you hit him?
Not really. I like one of those weird, almost out of body experiences where I saw, it's like I approached a fork in the road and I saw both paths at the same time. So I saw and experienced me just dropping everything and filling this fucking kid in. And that was not the path that I chose, because it's this disconnect of, I am a pacifist and do not think that violence is necessary. But when I was 18, that wasn't the case. And by golly, did I jump back into my 18-year-old self and was ready to fucking throttle this kid.
Aww.
Literally ready to choke slam him. But like, you know, exploring all of these queer spaces and being an ally and, you know, having very close friendships and relationships with all of these people that I know have encountered this shit in their lives. And like, if you're going to pop off and say that to me, there's no reason this little piece of shit wouldn't say it to other people. And it would cut other people way deeper than it did for me. So it was just like this rage-inducing moment where the little fucking coward wouldn't say it again. Now that there were other people around, he basically like whispered it in my ear.
We call those a drive-by.
Yeah. Yeah. So I challenged him to say it again, like a fucking big boy, and he wouldn't. Anyhow, absolutely just in turmoil emotionally I have been. And like, again, I love hockey. I grew up on hockey, but I don't know that hockey's got to figure its shit out. There are systemic issues throughout the sport. I've seen racism. I've seen bigotry. I've seen all of the bad stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of the most disheartening parts of this experience for me, I think, was I peeled off from it. And a couple of my teammates throughout like the next 20 minutes or whatever were like, whoa, like, how did you get so pissed off? Like, you're so mild mannered. And I was like, motherfucker called me an F slur. And responses ranged from, whoa, to like, ha ha ha. And to me being like, none of this is the appropriate response from you guys. Mm-hmm. And again, like all straight white guys in the room, but like at the same time, I'm not gay, but I don't need to be to understand the weight of those words and mm-hmm. the impact that they have on a culture and a community and mm-hmm. a subsection of people. So I will be chasing down that guy's name from the game sheet and waiting until we play him again and
murdering him.
Maybe.
I don't know. Like, I get it, because there's a lot of people, like, I say that word all the time, but it's because, like, for me, it's a word that's been used against me for so long. I remember when I was a teenager, or not even a teenager, I think I was in grade 8, I remember I went to pick up my friend at another school, and 3 guys grabbed me, one by my arm, one by my other arm, and one by my neck, and the 3 of them kept punching me in the stomach and throwing snowballs at me, calling me the F-slur over and over and over and over and over, you know? So it's just like, for me, I've had those kind of experiences. So it's just like, I can say that word because that's a word that has been used against me for so long that I can own it. And I know I like to joke around with you about it sometimes, but it's just, I'm just trying to joke, you know? Yeah, but like, but for when straight people use it in such a negative, deep way, it's because that they know that that's going to hurt somebody, mm-hmm. you know? So I hope you see him again. And can I say, just to lighten the mood, it's so fucking hot that you almost punched him.
The way that you were like, did you hit him?
Did you see? I was like, did you hit him? If he would have called you a faggot and you would have laid him out, my nipples would have went rock solid.
Well, I'll keep you updated on the next time we play this team, because I am going to pull him aside very early in the game. And I'm like, for the next hour, I'm going to fucking make your life hell. And I will just follow him every opportunity I get and give him something.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I don't even warn him. Just lay him out.
Well, babe. It's just so that he spends the whole game like, oh, fuck.
Is he a little guy?
Oh, dude. So small. He was the little bitchiest, little squeaky voiced. It's what made me even more upset. It's like, you weren't in there trying to make a physical statement about the game. You were in there spreading hate, spewing like a little piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little fucking weasel.
Something about hockey where it's just like, you fight. Like, fighting is just a thing.
Yeah. I mean, we're in a non-contact league, but like,
it's about to be contact.
Oh, yeah. I might literally tell my team, like, hey, guys, I probably won't finish this game. Like, I'm going to get kicked out of this game. That's fine. That's going to be the $30 that I spent to play. It's totally going to be fine on my end. I hope that's cool with you guys.
Sorry. I want to come. It's me in the stands. Woo.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, you feel better now that you got that off your chest?
A little bit. I'm just, again, just super disheartened. Like, the institution of hockey has a lot of work to do, and there are people trying to do it, and you see like the NHL being like, hockey is for everyone. But like, at its core, NHL has issues, and that is them trying to fight off that press. And like, the other side of it being, I've interacted with people that are like, oh yeah, I play in a queer hockey league, and that's great. But it also kind of recolors it for me to like, that might not be a, hey, we're gay and we love hockey. It's, hey, we're gay and we want to play hockey, and we don't want to be victims of fucking hate crimes. So we made our own league. And I'm like,
yeah,
all of it's tough. It's kind of one of those, like, how can you be a part of a system of something that is so damaging and hurtful to other people and mm-hmm. be like, oh, I'm not part of that problem. You know what I mean? Like, and you're still representative of it. So it's tough. It's like the ACAB thing. It's like, oh, well, I'm one of the good cops. It's like, yeah, but you're still a part of a system that's completely fucking fundamentally flawed and hurtful and oppressive. So is it the same thing just being a part of hockey. And it's like, I do it once a week and it's good for getting out and being athletic and engaging in competition and being with a group of people that I like. But man, I don't know. It caused me to question everything very, very quickly for like an exchange that took like a minute and a half max.
Yeah, I wouldn't stop playing hockey because of that though.
It's just made me so many big feels, you know?
So many big feels. I know. And I'm really sorry that this was your first F slur from a straight person, but you get used to it.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, there were times where like I was touring and you know, oh, who would have guessed? Male figure skaters, mostly gay. So that was just largely the group of friends that I had. And I remember walking down a street in Cleveland and some guy asked us for change and I was with three or four of my gay friends that were all pretty drunk and we're like, oh, sorry, we don't have any change. And we walked like a half a block and he threw an F slur from the other half of the block. Once we'd got far enough away, mm-hmm. One of the other guys I was with went red and was like, and turned around and started to chase the guy. And I grabbed that friend and was like, Hey, no, we can't start a fight in the streets. And he was just as red as I was, but I was like, we're not going to murder someone today. So
I started a fight one time.
I think you've maybe told me this.
I don't think I have.
Was there somebody around a hate crime?
No. Somebody came to a bar one time and got really drunk. Yeah. And then I had like casually known them, not really very well, but I knew them. And we went to get food after and we were all drinking. This is when I was still actively drinking and they were straight and they dropped the F slur inside of the food place. And the food place was in the Village. So I whacked them across the face, dragged them outside, lost my mind on them. But when I was, but the Hero Burger that I was at has a giant window that's basically like a little movie screen. So I'm losing my mind on this person in the movie screen and all of the gay people are inside watching it happen. And then when I came back in to get my burger, they were all like, yay. Oh my God. So it was funny. So sometimes violence is a little bit necessary. Like Nazis, punch Nazis.
If anyone needed to be punched, that would be whom. But I actually just saw a post that Kendall's doing like a hosting a gay boxing class or some shit.
Yeah, Kendall hosts gay boxing because she was like, really wanted to start getting into fitness. Yeah. And then she, you know, she was trying a bunch of stuff. And then finally she got into a boxing class and she really liked it. And Kendall doesn't know how to enjoy things without monetizing them.
Sure.
So she has immediately monetized herself a gay boxing league class.
And I'm like, I don't know, can I attend? Because I want to learn to hit stuff just in case. Well, I mean, listen, let me get it straight here. I've hit a lot of stuff in my day. Mm-hmm. And if I need to, I can. But I don't want to. But with the impending class war and maybe civil war and all of the violence that's in, it seems like it's in our future. Maybe I should just, you know, refresh myself a little bit.
Yeah, and then also, if you get better at hitting when I piss you off, you'll be able to beat me up more.
I already can't do that.
Yeah, you tried to push me over the couch, and then you just slammed me into it, and I fell to the ground.
I forgot how little you were. So what happened was, we walked behind a couch in Juice's like living room, and you said something, so I went to jokingly push you over the couch. And I'm used to me with a high center of gravity. If I get pushed against a couch, I just roll onto the cushions. So that's what I tried to do to you, but you're so fucking little that you just like hit like 45% of your body on the edge of this and didn't go over the top.
And you just collapsed. Hit
the wooden back.
I was like, ow. I was like, ow, my ribs.
There was something I said to you. I forget exactly how it came up, but I said, hey, I'm not going to injure you, but I'll sure as shit hurt you.
No, it was the funniest thing that you said was I was just like, I said how you don't have intimidating energy. I was like, you don't feel scary. Like, you're not intimidating. Like, I'm not scared of you. And you said, you're the only one who should.
Switch gears into some,
I was going to say, let's lighten the mood.
Sorry again. Like, thank you, everybody, for giving me the space to share what was not a happy story. And I hope wasn't particularly triggering for any of you, although I have a feeling that it's something you've almost all experienced, which is fucking bullshit. But to transition into happier stuff, Juice and I got to spend like, Juice, I arrived at your place on Wednesday evening. And then I left Monday. How many days is that?
That's like 12 days.
Jesus Christ. You were like, when did you leave? And I was like, Monday. And you're like, oh, and you're going back Monday. I was like, yeah. And you were like, that's like 12 days. And I went, what? Do math again. Try again. On this time that we spent together, I realized math is not your forte.
It's 6 days. You're Wednesday. That's 6 days. Okay. Wednesday, yeah. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. 6 days.
Yep.
So we saw each other for 6 days. Super fun.
So much time
together. And it was like, for me, like I feel like some people can't vacation together. And mm-hmm. when I say that is like, some people can't spend that much time together. I could have spent another 2 weeks with you.
I was fine.
I was having a great time. You know what that means? You and I should go on cool vacations together.
Oh my goodness.
We would be fine.
Where would we go?
I don't know, but we'd have to have two separate rooms, you pig.
No, that's not what it is. You need your room for your alone time. It's nothing for me. I keep a tight ship when I have the space and whatever. No.
But basically the reason Jackson came down was we were invited to the Canadian Game Awards from the Canadian Podcast Awards. Lots of awards. But from Podcast Awards, they had invited us down. We had talked about it last week, how I was going to be the only one who was going to be there. But Jackson had... Yeah. Luckily gotten the chance to come, so we both got to go together.
Yeah, I had such a blast, and that's what the bulk of this episode will be, is us kind of diving in and talking about our experience there. But for additional context, I flew to Montreal for work, and then there was a big snowstorm in Montreal, and they were like, oh shit, you gotta get out. So my plan was to do the live stream from the office on Thursday and then fly out Friday after the storm, go home, mm-hmm. no problem. Went into the office live stream studio disassembled. So I went, oh fuck, I gotta get out before the storm, and I have to get somewhere where I can live stream. So I can either fly home late Wednesday, get up early Thursday, be miserable, or, and I kind of threw it out there, I'd already talked to my boss about the Canadian Game Awards and was like, I might try and get there if I can. And since I was rerouting flights, I was like, hey, if I went to Toronto, would you guys pay for the flight from Montreal to Toronto? Or the flight into Vancouver, because like, what's more important? You fly me out from my original destination, or you fly me home to my, like, I land in my original destination. And I was so used to tour, because that's how Disney on Ice did it. They're like, no. You fly to your home airport and you fly from the city that we finished in. So if you wanted to leave, you could go away, but you'd have to come back to Dayton, Ohio, and then fly home, because that's the rules. Mm-hmm. And my boss eventually was like, what are you talking about? We'll fly you home. You're headed in the same direction. Whatever. We'll pay for both flights. And I went, really? He's like, yeah, you're going home. It's not like you're going on vacation. Like, you're just going that direction. We're going to pay for both. And I went, oh, shit. So literally on, like, I think it was Tuesday, I was like, hey, if I could, would I be able to come to your place? And you're like, yeah, absolutely. And you went to bed and you're like, just let me know what time to pick you up. I'll see the message in the morning. And then that's what we did. So I flew to you Wednesday, stayed all of that time. Not only did a snowstorm cause me to get there, a snowstorm also canceled my flight on Sunday. So we ended up with an extra day. And then I flew out Monday just after this snowstorm. And when I landed, you had messaged me and said, thank God you took off when you did. And I went, yeah, I know. Like, I'm really excited to be home now because I get a whole day to myself. And you went, no, a plane crashed at the airport that you took off from hours after you left. And I went, what?
Yeah, the Delta.
Sure enough, mm-hmm. there was this Delta flight upside down on the tarmac. No deaths.
No deaths. But today, actually, two small passenger planes crashed into each other. And two people died.
Where?
Don't know. I just saw it before we started recording. The way you are not getting me on a plane.
Yeah, I'm not flying anywhere for a long time.
I love you so much, but our friendship is a digital friendship for the foreseeable future.
We are remote until the planes figure it out.
Yeah, we are remote. We got our whole lives together, buddy. Yeah.
We're not rushing on these planes.
They got to figure it out.
Yeah. I told someone, I was like, wow, air travel's been wild lately. They went, yeah, ever since Trump took over. I went, they're like, I'm not saying that's the case, but just ironically, that's where the time took over.
Well, notice it's only American planes, just saying.
I've already been drained.
You've been drained enough. I've been drained.
Not like that, but
nice.
Yeah, so I think we should let everybody know about the super exciting time that we had at the Canadian Podcast Awards booth at
the Canadian
Expo, a part of
the Canadian
Game Awards. But before we do that, Juice.
Oh my God. Oh, yes.
We should tell everyone about the Patreon, because if you wanted to support this podcast a little more than you already do, you could head on over to patreon.com/itdangerpod, where you can find a whole myriad of additional content options, including but not limited to full video episodes, access to all of our episodes one day before the rest of the world, monthly cameo style videos for myself and Juice, and starting recently, a monthly exclusive video. So go and check out all of the options to support the podcast. If you have no loons or tunes to spare, you can head on over to Instagram.com/itdangerpod and check out some of the clips that we put there. Maybe share one with a friend. Let us know in the comments of those videos just what you like most about those clips. We always appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And with that being said, we were at the Canadian Game Awards from at the A Games Expo with the Canadian Podcast Awards. That is such a mouthful.
I know.
So basically what the A Expo was it was essentially at TIFF Bell Lightbox. It was just
Which
a bunch
cool.
of
That's
super
like for anyone
cool.
who doesn't know, that's where Toronto International Film Festival is housed.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what TIFF is. Like that's super you told me and I had no idea. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like that's a great venue.
So it was a great venue. It was beautiful and it was just full of these like cool Canadian made games, right? All games that are either have been out or that are coming out really soon with Canadian developers and Canadian studios, a lot of indie games there. So we got to meet a lot of really cool people, meet a lot of really cool games that will be coming out this year. So that was super exciting. You and I doing VR together, hilarious.
I saw that clip. So you pulled together a nice little reel that we put up on Instagram as well. And I saw just the brief moment of you and I playing, you in the foreground, me in the background, was hilarious. It made me so happy to see. We should also clarify that when we say A Game Expo, EH, like Canada, like A.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just for anyone who doesn't know. Because if you read it, it makes sense. If you just say A Game Expo, you're like, that's very formal. That's a very formal way. What's the name of it? But yeah, it was A Game Expo.
Yeah. So it was really fun. I had a really good time.
We did
had
so much schmoozing.
Well, I was going to say, you did a lot of schmoozing. I kind of took a back seat and let you do it. Because with that being said, me and Jackson had done Fan Expo two years ago.
So we did Toronto Comic Con last year. That's where we did our live episode. Thank you again, Canadian Podcast Awards.
Mm-hmm.
That one went well. But the year before, I believe we did a Fan Expo. No, I think it was Toronto Comic Con before as well.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, we did a con. Go ahead.
We did a con. Jackson came and had a panic attack for 3.5 hours. Just didn't talk to anybody. Stood there completely silent, horrified, terrified to do anything. this time, Miss Jackson's going around talking to everybody, schmoozing, grabbing cards, making connections, getting mad at me for not asking for things, like going over and being like, you should really talk to them and maybe tell them that we have a podcast. And I'm just like, okay, well, why don't you do it,
firstly,
Mr. Schmoozy?
I wasn't mad. I was trying to help, but it did come across as stern dad gives advice. So
I was just like, you do it yourself, bitch.
I was like, oh, so you were like, oh, I'm going to go see if they have game codes. I was like, okay, do that. And then you came back and I was like, what'd they say? And you're like, oh, I didn't tell them. And I was like, why not? And I was like, well, wouldn't you try these things instead? And you're like, why don't you fucking do it yourself? I was like, okay, pretty confused about this exchange. But yeah, we had our own booth space, but then we kind of bounced off of it here and there, because at our booth space, we had obviously advertising the podcast and hanging out with the Canadian Pod Award people, which is great. But we also did a fun trivia game where we offered up prizes.
It was our prizes were Pokemon cards. And our trivia game was essentially just, do you know more than Juice?
Yeah.
Which, so everyone.
We bought fun little buzzers for you and our opponents to buzz in. And I catered all of the questions to whoever you were playing against.
Mm-hmm.
So the deck was stacked against you. And still, people got real nervous. They were like, what are these Pokemon cards here for? We explained the game. We were like, do you want to play? They're like, oh, I don't know.
I remember one guy went, how long do I have to answer? And we were like,
how long you fucking need, man? Like,
we're like, no pressure, bud. There's nobody behind you. Take your time. We're here all night.
let's just hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other people being like, oh, I don't know. I don't know enough about trivia. And I was like, well, what is your favorite game? And they told me, and I was like, okay, it'll be about that. And they're like, seems like a gamble. I was like, it's not. You're fine. Just have fun here. So that was fun. We were able to give out a bunch. And then we saved some for, well, we didn't save some. Not enough people played. So we had some for ourselves. Did you open yours?
Not yet.
I opened mine. No big hits, but it was fun. It's always fun. You know?
You also did leave 5 of your cards here.
Yeah, I left them. Oh, I did realize that after. Yeah. Yeah. The packs that we bought had fun cards.
I'm going to put them in your birthday card and send it.
Thanks.
What was I going to say though? So yeah, we got to do that. That was really fun. And then after, we got to walk a little red carpet, which was super cute.
That was cute.
Yeah. The lighting was offensively bad.
Yeah. There's a clip of us like queuing up for a picture. And I was like, you look frightening.
I didn't know that my face could look like that.
Yeah, I was genuinely taken aback.
Yeah, and I was like, it made me very insecure. I was just like, there's no way I look like that. Like, that's horrifying. I was like, I looked like an old man, like, crawling out of a cave. You know, do I look like that?
No, not at all. Don't let it give you a complex, because that's not how you look. But the lighting was a challenge for sure. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone, like, any of the connections, the schmoozing, the games that we interacted with, anyone that you want to call out before we kind of
move along? Oh my God. The one that I'm most excited for was, oh my God, what's it called? Ayami.
It's a turn-based RPG with like a somewhat creature collector vibe where you have battles and the move set that you are picking from are dance moves, and it's Bollywood inspired. So the art style is very, very cutesy, and the different characters that you have in your party hop out, do a very pretty dance move that does damage or kind of progresses this battle. And it was really cool. You told me about it, and at some point you were like, hey, it's this dance game. And I went, oh, I didn't see a dance game, because it's not like overtly, like, it's just not the it is the main mechanic, but there's so many other parts to this game and the art style and other things that really kind of take center stage that I didn't even know that this was a dance game. So
yeah, it was like a turn-based Pokemon battle, but you got to like dance.
Yeah,
I can't find the name of it right now. I would have to run upstairs to grab the card.
Nah, don't. I'll find it.
You'll find it.
Yeah, I'll find it. But were there any other ones that you really, really enjoyed?
Oh my God, I'm really excited about Croak. Croak was a cool. Really cool game. Croak was a platformer where you are a frog prince and you travel around using your tongue to go from platform to platform. So that one looked really fun. There was another one called Strand. I think Strand was the name.
Strand was cool, and we talked to some of the marketing people on Strand, and they were super. They were one of my favorite people that we interacted with there.
Yes, they were really cool. Strand is essentially an escape room, but you're on a spaceship, and it was so beautifully rendered. And it was made by two guys, just two French guys, made the whole thing, and it was beautiful. And I sat and I played it for a bit. I didn't have time to like really sit and divulge into it. And there's a free demo for that already on Steam. So that was really cool. Oh, and we also played a VR golf game.
We played a VR golf game that was so fun. So it was mini golf, but it was like async. Basically, you one person mini golfs while the other person is like in God mode, just constantly dropping things on the course and making it a real pain in the ass for everybody, which was so fun. Mm. It was so cool. It was called Fruit Golf.
Fruit Golf. So that one was golf. Yeah. So I was playing the golfer. You were playing the person fucking it up. But what's so fun is that if you make it past, like if you get it in the hole, you switch. So the next hole, the person who was playing God is done golfing and then you are fucking them up. So it's like, you get to go back and forth. So I was like, oh, that's so fun.
So we never switched.
Oh no, I did not make it very far.
Because I bullied you.
Yeah. You kept throwing clams at me.
Yeah, I had an army of clams, which sounds weird, but take a look at the game. It's very, very fun.
Mm-hmm.
I've been looking and I actually can't find the name of this game.
So bad. I've gotta grab the card.
We will find it. Are you going right now?
I'm gonna grab it. Just pause. Just sing to them.
And I will always love. Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead.
It was called Akyam.
Spell it.
A-I-K-Y-A-M.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Akyam. Bollywood-themed, Bollywood-inspired fantasy RPG. Mm-hmm. Thousand Star Studios.
Yes. Super cool. Gosh. And the last one, Venture to the Vile.
Yeah, that was right next to our booth.
Oh my God. It was like, if you're someone who likes Little Nightmares and like almost, it had like a Little Nightmares meets Sweet Tooth aspect to it, because you played, you play someone who's wearing like a deer's head. So they've got like antlers and stuff, and they're escaping out of, I think, like a mental asylum, and there's like zombies, and the fight mechanics are so cool. And it's a platformer, but it's also, there's like depth to it. So you're not just going right to left. You can also go front. I forget how to say it, but you can also go like into the map.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was a cool one. And the people working on it were cool. It was great to be able to interact with all of these people that are just so passionate about games. Mm-hmm. And for me, doing my work with Unity, connecting with a number of these indie gamers, indie studios, and being like, well, what did you build in? And most of them were Unity, which was kind of fun for me as well, to like, that's me.
I know. That was where most of our connections came, because you would talk to them and be like, you work Unity? And you were like, I work for Unity. And I would just be sitting there like,
I really did some of my best networking ever. Like, it was great to be able to connect with as many people as we did. Everyone was so passionate and kind and eager to just show off their work, which was so fun. And we kind of talked through some like possibilities, like, oh, where could we review your game? Like, could we get codes? And there were some really fun things to come out of that. So I know that it's something you want to do more of this year, of actually going in and making some short form content, actually reviewing some of the games and publicizing some of the games. So it would be really cool to have those opportunities. And I think we set ourselves up for that.
Look at us.
Look at us. We also made friends with the video guys. There was two video guys that were there walking around, setting up and taking shots. And basically, it looked like just acquiring a ton of B-roll for promotional kind of post-mortem style videos. Like, hey, recaps and check us out.
It's just so funny when there's so many there that we can network with. And there's you and me and the video guy just being like, what up, bud?
He was cool as shit. So he was the coolest. He was the drummer. He's a drummer. He's a musician. He produces. He drums and tours with Shad, who's a Canadian hip-hop artist that I've liked since like university. Mm-hmm. And just the coolest guy. And he's like, I just wanted to do other stuff, so I got into video. And interacted with him a bunch of different times. And at some point they were like, hey, we need to record some interview style clips. So can we give you guys this lav mic and ask you guys to do a couple of things? So we did. And we just fucked around.
It was so
much fun. And we could see them having a good time and chuckling along and laughing. And once we finished, they were like, hey, like, who else should we talk to? So we were kind of trying to help them find other people to put into some video content and stuff as well. It was super rad. There was also a woman that we interacted with, Juice. I'll let you tell this story, with the butterfly dress.
Oh my God, I'm so mad. So this girl shows up. She is covered in these beautiful butterflies. It's like a monarch butterfly dress. She has a moth bag. She's got like blue bangs. She just looks cool. She looks like the coolest person in there. I was just like, she is rad, awesome. Her friends all have matching moth bags. So I go over and this is how I make women feel safe, is I say in the gayest possible, I compliment them and I go, oh my God, this is so pretty.
It's so good. Like, it works so well. Cause I'm large and in stature, and in gaming, a woman is
a minority,
has to deal with shit. Yeah. Stands out, deals with shit. So for me, being a relatively large guy, I try to be very cautious in how I approach women. And for you to just be like, oh my God, I love your dress. And I'm like, oh yeah. And I think we did it again later. Sorry to rant and ramble away from your story that you're telling. But I went over, there was another conversation we had with someone else that we'll talk about later. It was the host of the show. And you were like, I love your dress. And then at some point, pretty quickly, I was like, yes, this is my friend Juice. They are a professional drag queen, so they know a thing or two about dresses. And then like it's a really good conversation starter that we're able to be like, hi, this is Juice and I'm Jax, it's nice to meet you guys. Like, it worked well, and it wasn't mm-hmm. the only time that it happened. Sorry,
you're less terrifying. Yeah. But then, so we're talking, and we're talking about like her bag and her dress, and she's so sweet and so nice. And then we ended at that. That is the mistake that I made.
It was also one of the shorter interactions we had. Like with some other people, we were like, oh, like what brings you, like, are you here to rep anything? Mm-hmm. Like what's your connection here? And we talk to them, get to know them. We connect on like, hey, here's our card, check out the pod. This was just one of the more brief conversations we had. Very positive, but we just rolled on.
And I let her go. And this is my mistake, because she walks on stage once the game awards starts. She walks on stage to be a presenter for an award.
Yeah.
This girl is the representative for Disney Dreamlight Valley. Senior fucking community manager. Disney Dreamlight. Oh, I almost lost my mind. For those, if you do not know, because of the amount of times I fucking said it on this podcast, I love that game so much. It is one of my favorite games of all time. I love playing it. I have not been putting into the hours into it just because I've been super busy and Marvel Rivals is kind of taking over my life. But I love that game. I love everything about that game. So when I heard that, I was furious with myself because I was just like, I could have made the perfect connection.
Yeah.
The perfect connection. And then like even after we were waiting for her and she had, I think, had left early, so we didn't see her. So her and I connected on Instagram and I was just like, I just wanted to say like, I fucking love Disney Dreamlight Valley.
So. There was this really funny moment too where during the show you were like, oh my fucking God. And I went, oh yeah, I actually interviewed for maybe that job when I was trying to get into the industry. And you went, how is it that I've known you for so fucking long and you've never told me this once? And I went, Juice, there is a very high likelihood that I've told you this story multiple times, but you just don't listen. And you went, okay.
I was like, I might have forgot. I have like a goldfish brain. I forget things a lot.
Yeah, it's fun.
But with that being said, we eventually did get to watch the show, and the show was great. Show was mm-hmm. super fun. It was kind of cool to see like what games were Canadian. I didn't know that Dragon Age,
very good.
Veil Guard was Canadian.
Yep, BioWare has studios, I believe, in Edmonton and maybe Vancouver, if I'm not mistaken.
I know. Wow, it's such a huge game that was made in Canada. Mm-hmm. And it was just really cool to see like a bunch of Canadian games that were nominated. Etay was one that I really piqued my interest. It looked really beautiful and kind of up my alley. Mm-hmm. There was another one that was nominated for a lot, but it didn't win any. It was like someone protecting a door. What was it?
Little Guardsman. Little Guardsman was cool. And we talked to people that worked on that at the expo portion. And they were like, it's like Papers, Please, but with like a fantasy twist. So Papers, Please is this game that's like indie darling that really hit it. Like really hit it. People loved it. And it was like you as a passport border guard, essentially reading through and asking them questions. And it had this like really humorous tone of you being like, that's not you in the picture, or like trying to decide, do you let these people in your country or not, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this game is a take on that, but even more comedy. And it is in a fantasy setting. So one of the trailers we saw during the show was like a vampire, like a very classic vampire, and like a cartoon. Everything's cartoony and cutesy and fun. And I'm pretty sure I went through and added it to my wish list immediately after the game, so I might give it a shot at some point.
I was gonna say, because it's adorable, so cute. I would try that one too. Or there was another one. It won the very first award. Thousand
Times Resist, which is really cool. The team is in Vancouver, and I might try to do some work with them because I interacted. I didn't interact. So we went by their booth because they were showing, and they had a sign that said, hey, sorry, we're not there. Our flights got canceled because of the snowstorm. So they're Vancouver based, and there was only one person that made it there, and she was one of the capture artists. So voice and performance.
Yeah.
A performance capture artist.
Yeah.
And
who won? She won an award.
And I've heard a little bit about this game, and it's during the pandemic, they were all artists of different kinds that could no longer do their art. So they decided to band together to try to make a game. None of them had made a game before, to the best of my knowledge. They made this game very well regarded last year and won one of these awards.
Sorry, correction. The game won the award and she accepted it. She didn't win the award. That was somebody else who won.
My bad. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, my bad.
I'm with you.
But yeah, no, it was really fun. We got to see some first looks of some really cool games that are coming out.
Mm-hmm. I did genuinely go back through after, because it was one thing to just like read all of the names on a list, but to sit there and see all of the clips and the teams working on them, there was enough that piqued my interest that I genuinely went back through after or the next day and went through and wishlisted a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, essentially, Dragon Age and Balatro just cleaned up. They took all of the awards.
Absolutely destroyed it.
Yeah, they took most of the awards, if not all, which is like great, very well deserved. But my only thing was just like, I wish there was more Canadian games.
Yeah, so we talked about it on the variety. Train on the way home, where it's like, it's a quantity problem where it's like Canada just like so much of the messaging around this show was Canada makes great games. And that's not wrong. But the issue is we just don't have a population that sustains us making hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of games a year. Mm-hmm. Games take 2 to 8 to 10 years sometimes. And when there's not that many big studios and there's just not that many people in Canada compared to the rest of the world, there's just not a ton of games that get churned out each year. So yeah, that we joked about it. We were being dramatic, but we said like, there was only 12 games nominated across all of the categories. And that's obviously, like I said, a little dramatic, but yeah, it would have been cool to see a ton more variety because the games that were up there were fantastic and well-deserved for all of them. But at the same time, like, I just want more. And I think that's a good thing.
That's me being selfish.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what about you? Did you have fun?
I had a blast. It was the best networking I've ever done. It was the most social butterfly I've been in like a decade, and just making connections and chatting to people. And after the show finished, we kind of hung out outside the theater where everyone had to go through and just talk to a couple more people and stayed and hung out until they literally kicked us the F out of the show. And the video guys came back over, and I'm gonna share this and you tell me if I need to go cut it, but one of the video guys came over and was like, unprompted. Now granted, this is the whole reason I'm there. I'm pulling strings, I'm networking, I'm trying to get myself into a good spot for this, but the guy comes over and said it unprompted, leaned in and said, hey, next year you two should host this thing. And I went, and I went, thank you very much. That means a lot to me. If you could pass that along when you submit the footage of us dicking around at the expo, that would be great. He goes, oh, I won't do that. I was like, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you, sir. And then, so that was, I love hosting. I love games. I love award shows. To me, knowing that this exists, the moment I found it on socials a couple months before the show actually happened, and then it was just a complete fluke that we ended up there, I was like, I want to host this. I knew of the hosts from previous years, looking through their socials, and I was like, I want to host this. And going there, it was a thing that, you know, I was pretty upfront about. There was someone responsible for the production that came by the booth, and I went, oh, you're with the show, and talked a little bit, and I went, what do I need to do to host this event in future? And they're like, oh, talk to so-and-so. So literally after the show, shout out to Canadian Podcast Awards, that literally said, you're getting in this elevator, and jumped in an elevator with the person. And I went, oh, so you're so-and-so. I love the show. Shout out to Carl. I said, hey, Carl, were you Carl? You ran the show? He's like, yeah, oh, yeah. I was like, love the show. Think it's so awesome. Don't know how, but I want to be involved. In the Canadian Podcast Awards reps were like, Jackson is great. Juice is great. Here's the podcast that they do. They're inquiring about how to host. And connected with Carl after and was like, hey, whatever, however I can be involved in future, I would love to. This is my passion and just want to be a part of it. And he said, let's connect. So by now people have already seen the clickbaity title suggesting that we will host the future Game Awards. And we're just kind of willing it into existence.
We're manifesting.
We're manifesting. It hasn't happened yet. No concrete suggestions that it will, but promising.
Listen, I'm a fabulous host.
You are a good host.
Yeah, and so are you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. At some point during the show, I leaned into you and I went, be honest, could I do this? And you looked at me and you went, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I went, thank you.
It's just an award show. It's fairly straightforward. Everything's scripted.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just like, it's fairly easy. But I just think it would be fabulous.
It was a great show. Really enjoyed it. And almost immediately, I think it, for me anyways, and I don't want to speak for you, but it sparked this level of creativity of like, if I had creative input into this, here's what I would add or what I would change or how I think it could be better. And like, it was great. But I just like, I saw myself in it and was like, this is how my approach would change.
Yeah, me too.
I felt really inspired leaving that building that night.
Me too. I spent the last like 24 hours like emailing games companies to try and start getting my reviews off the ground. So like, you know, it was kind of cool. It was a really fun weekend. Look at us go.
Yeah. So again, shout out to Jennifer and John from the Canadian Podcast Awards for getting us tickets and space at the booth and an opportunity to talk about the podcast with people. I had an absolute blast. We're so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone's listening to this and you were like, whoa, I met you at the con. Thank you so very much for chatting with us. We had such a good time.
And thank you for listening and we appreciate it. And with that being said,
we did it.
We did it.
Thank you
guys so much.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Me, you.
You, then me. But give me 1 second.
Please.
No, you, then me. So just give me 1 second. When is me?
Thank you guys so much for another week of It's Dangerous to Go Alone. We really appreciate you guys listening another week. Don't forget to shoot us a comment or even a rate wherever you're listening to podcasts today. And I'm going to hand it off to Jackson.
I just wanted to say a big thanks to everybody for listening, allowing me to be vulnerable and sticking with me through a very real moment that I struggled to converse about. So if you made it here, you're one of the real ones. I really appreciate you.